This is Anderson Penn's podcast, episode 109 for Tuesday, June 24th, 2014. This is Brian.
This is Lisa.
This is the Anderson Penn's Radio Network.
And we have a killer show tonight. I'm excited.
Actually, I believe this is episode 110, so I've screwed up already. we have a very special guest with us this evening, brand manager at Kenroy Industries, two-time Ironman triathlete. Oh, my goodness. Huge soccer fan, Ryan Sirignano.
Woo! Hey, everybody. I'm honored to be with the Andersons today, and I'm looking forward to a fun session talking about some writing instruments.
Go ahead, Lisa.
We're going to have a good time. We've got some fun questions, and I have to say, first of all, people talk to us all the time and they say, oh my God, it must be, kind of fun to have a pen store or your own pen company, your own pen business. It's got to be killer to work for a pen distributor because it's not just one brand. I mean, you get to go, like, you can go to the Aurora Room and worship anytime you want. And you can go to the Monte Grappa Room and, like, hang out. Like, you could eat lunch in there with the door closed, right? I would. I would totally do that. Well, you should. I mean, I think that people are going to find it fascinating to see kind of the other side of the business. I know when we went to Kenroy, it was cool. Go ahead.
Yeah. There's definitely different perks, I would say, to working on the distributor side than there are to having a pen shop, for instance, because you get to really interact a lot with the actual manufacturer, which I think is really special. We get to see pretty much all sides of the business. I get to work trunk shows at retail environments and really sit with the end users and try to understand their needs. We interact a lot with the retailers, so we're trying to understand their needs as well. And then we also get to express those needs to the manufacturer. And you get to be involved in anything from product development to sales. It's really just the whole gauntlet of business, really, which is really a lot of fun.
So it's like a dream job.
Sometimes I have to pinch myself.
So you do have some play into product development. Have you personally? Is there any particular pen or any particular model that you have personally had an input in that's actually come to fruition?
Well, I don't really want to just like toot my own horn, but I guess myself and another retail partner were actually the sole reason for the comeback of the vintage series from Omas.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
In all honesty, it really came from listening to the needs of the end user who, I spent many years at many pen shows where customers would come up to me and say, we really like Omas and we love the vintage Omas and we love the way that the vintage Paragon felt and, we hate the metal sections on the modern Paragon. And from listening to that over and over again, I said, we really got to bring this stuff back. There's really a market for this. And I mean, for the past 3 or 4 years, we've been surviving from Omas sales. I mean, a large portion of it is really coming from these vintage or throwback pens. I mean, now we're even doing throwbacks on the Ogiva. We're bringing back the older style of the 360. And these are the pens that really made Omas Omas. And it's really resonating with the end user. So.
I'm sorry, I'm drooling here. Hang on.
Well, while you're drooling, Ryan, how did you, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then how did you get into the pen business?
Okay. First of all, I'm 32 years old. I've been working for Kenroy Industries, the distributor for Monte Grappa, Aurora, Omas, and Schaefer for the past 7 years, and we've really had a big transition since I've been there. When I had first started, we only had the Aurora and Omas line, and now we've taken on Monte Grappa. We're also the U.S. distributor for Tibaldi, And most recently, we've taken on the Schaefer line. How I got started in pens is a little bit of an interesting story. I was a, in my past life, I like to say, a subprime mortgage underwriter. So you can thank me for the collapse of the world. But, you know, that industry really started to crash at a point where I decided to go back to a local school in the area, Hofstra, for my MBA in finance. And I decided that I was going to be, you know, a finance guy. And I took an internship with Joel and Kenro Industries and figured it would only be a 2 to 3 year process. And once I got my MBA, I would be out of there. And I haven't left. I mean, the experience has just been incredible. I've gotten to see the world, and it's just been unbelievable.
Now, you travel a lot, right?
Quite a bit, yeah. Probably about, I'd say anywhere, depending upon the month, 25 to 50% of my time is either on a road at a pen show, visiting customers, visiting clients, or visiting with manufacturers. So there's quite a bit. I mean, there's Kenro Industries is a very small company. I think at the moment we have about 10 people, and two of us travel, so we have to get all of North America in.
You and Brian?
Myself and Brian, correct.
Right. Okay.
So the important question is when do your travels take you to Wisconsin?
Yes.
I was in Chicago, actually, last week.
Oh!
3 hours!
I swear I was saying to myself, I was like, I should really just take a ride out to Anderson Penn's, but the schedule is just so crazy, and I was like, ah. But to Wisconsin, I guess, never directly to Wisconsin, but...
Wrong answer.
Well, now there's a reason.
Next time in Chicago, I promise.
There you go. It's 3 hours north. It's easy.
Not bad.
Now, do you have a preferred brand? I mean, you have, correct me if I'm wrong, but you pretty much have your choice of anything from any of your lines, right? You can always just special order whatever it is you want. Do you have a go-to pen
or
brand?
I guess hopefully none of my suppliers are listening in on this. But I happen to be an Omos freak.
Yes.
I mean, the celluloid. I mean, each brand that I represent, not to say sound biased, but I think they all really do something really well. Aurora, I mean, their pens, you could beat them all day long, and they're just going to work. So in my opinion, yeah. I think it's one of the best, you know, workhorse pens, and I love that about it. Schaefer, I mean, from an accessibility standpoint, is really awesome. I mean, it really, I think, broadens the whole community because, I mean, they have a fountain pen now for $18, which I think is perfect for any child that's interested in something like that.
Right.
Monte Grappa, I mean, is going in a completely different direction. I mean, they're trying to push a little bit more towards the luxury environment and trying to become a real, you know, luxury brand. And Omos, in my opinion, it happens to be my favorite because I think that they're true to the company that they've always tried to be. You know, I think that I just love the vintage celluloids. I love that they know what they do well and they continue to do that. Some may not find that so exciting, but I really like it, so.
No, I agree, I think they're fantastic pens. I have four of them now, three or four of them in my collection, and the Paragons especially, I think, are just amazing, the big, fat Paragons. But in every pen show I go to, John Colton, who you know.
Yeah, I know John very well.
He's got the most obscene display of Omos pens on his table. It's just, I mean, I think I just need to pay him a subscription fee just to look at his pens. I mean,
his collection is absolutely crazy. So if I had to pin it down, Lisa, to one pen really, I guess it would be anything in Arco Verde celluloid. That celluloid, in my opinion, is just the best. And I like the Arco, and many of the other celluloids are very nice, but for whatever reason, Arco Verde is my go-to color. So.
Cool. Okay. Now, fountain, roller, ballpoint, what's your preferred method?
I know you guys are going to hate me for this, but I tend to use the ballpoint for the most part. When I have time to sit down and write, I like to use a fountain pen, though. My handwriting is atrocious, so when I start writing with a fountain pen, a lot of times I get out of control.
Well, you know, I've warmed up to ballpoints and roller balls because, of course, we have a lot of good friends and customers who you know, they don't have time for the muss and fuss of a fountain pen. So, you know, I mean, people need, you know, I would rather somebody have a, yeah, a nice writing rollerball or ballpoint than Vic or something. So I've opened up.
I'm still stuck on beating Auroras, but you know, don't, just ignore me. Paul Hurley in the chat is going to support me on that though. So. Now, did you collect before? Did you use fountain pens or?
Not at all, actually. I didn't know anything about it. And to be honest, I didn't even, when I went in for my interview at Kenro Industries, I didn't even really know what I was interviewing for. So I was completely, I didn't know anything about Kenro Industries or fine writing instruments or, you know, to be honest, I didn't even know Mont Blanc. I didn't know anything about it. So I really came in there fresh. And I think that Joel, the president of my company, really likes to bring someone in and really be able to mold them and teach them, and you kind of go through the Kenro industry school of thought, and I think that that's worked out really well for us. You know, when I started, I was really just like a stock boy, for instance, and that, you know, Joel really encouraged me to, if I ever had a question, go in and open up a box and play with a pen and, you know, change a nib and...
Can I live there?
I've got a very important question.
Sure.
Are they hiring?
I'll talk to Joel, Brian. I'm sure we can work something out.
We can work something out. I'll come out like a weekend, a month or something.
Maybe. Will you work for Pens?
Yes.
I will. Yeah, absolutely. You bet your ass I will.
Now, Ryan, we've been out to Kenro twice.
Yes.
Two years in a row, right before the Long Island Pen Show. Mm-hmm. And you guys had invited us for lunch on a Friday. Mm-hmm. And we thought that that was just a really sweet gesture. And then we discovered that for a company that has such wide reach, it really truly is still a family company, really. I mean, yeah. It's Joel and then all of you, but I don't know that everyone knows that you all sit down together for lunch pretty much every day.
Literally every day. I mean, we really are a family. I mean, we have Lisa and Brian have seen it. We have a giant conference table. Sometimes it's busier than others, depending upon who's traveling that day, but literally every single one of us sits down. We have lunch. We talk about anything from pens to... you know, what was on TV last night, politics. My boss is huge into politics. and we really are family. I mean, again, it's a small company. We've had anywhere from about 10 to 12 people probably there at any given time. And most people have been there for a long time. I mean, the vice president of the company has been with Joel for 18 years. I'm on my eighth year. We have another girl, Danine, in the office who's been there for 15, 16 years. Yep. Annette, our receptionist, has been with Joel for 30 years.
And that's great.
It's a family. And, I mean, many of you out there may know Dick Crane, who recently retired, was with us for 15 years. I mean, it's a great place to work. It's really a pleasure to work with these people, and that's kind of why we don't really have a lot of turnover.
Yeah, and Dick is the reason we're Schaefer and Aurora and Omos dealers. So he was kind enough to... take us under his wing. So
he started it all.
He did, I'll never forget. It was genuine, but it was a little bit of salesman. I mean, he's old school salesman, right? You know,
he's great.
He wrote the order up, and then like we said a couple things, and then he remembered that, and then all of a sudden, one day at our door, here's a package.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. We talked about that at dinner. I forgot about that.
No, but we were just really impressed with the atmosphere. It wasn't corporate. I mean, we didn't know what to expect. I guess we expected that it would be more, I'm even going to say stuffy or more formal, or, you know, we didn't know what to expect, but Schaefer is certainly kind of an everyman kind of line, but mm-hmm. some of the others are certainly a little bit higher end, and I've seen you and Brian dressed in suit coats at the pen shows. So we didn't know what to expect, but it was not this comfy, cozy. It was wonderful. It was really great. And it shows in how you guys treat both your retailers and we've seen you at shows, and you guys are just everyday normal people. You're not big hardcore salespeople. if you do, you've really worked it well.
I think we, as a company in general, we've kind of gone about with a philosophy that, you know, our product speaks for itself, and if you don't like it, then you don't have to buy it, and I'm not going to force anyone to buy one time and just be a one-time customer. I want to have relationships with people like yourself, and you know, we wanna all make money together, and we wanna, you know, be friendly and enjoy work, and you know, work. There's a lot of stuff going on every day. You want to enjoy what you're doing, so that's kind of how we try to go about it.
But you're also at shows, at a number of shows, and you go to retail businesses, and so you're actually still in touch every day with the actual consumer. And I think that that's important, and that's one of the things that makes you a little bit different than some companies.
Well, I think it's one of the most important things. And I know a lot of my colleagues and competitors have started to dismiss some of the pen shows, but you know, Kenra Industries, we've decided that we want to really support that whole the whole show forum, really, and because I think that it's the most important time to really sit there and, you know, show people that you're a real company. I mean, a lot of times I think it's easy to get lost in the fact that, you know, like you said, that we cover the whole United States, and that we're Monte Grappe, and that we're Schaefer and Aurora and Omas, and these are massive companies. And Monte Grappe in particular is the largest Italian pen manufacturer. I mean, they're doing something like double or triple what the next guy is doing. I mean, it's easy to sit there and think that these companies really don't care, but we really do care, and that's why we go there, is because, you know, I want to have a say in service, and I want to have a say in, you know, product development, and I want to hear from the end user really what's important to them, because ultimately they're the guy that we're trying to please. So if you don't have a direct relationship with him, you don't know what you're doing. I think
awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
I love having you guys at shows, because it's awesome. Especially I get, every once in a while we get somebody who comes in with, you know, with some. And Deneen was in Chicago, and I remember we had somebody come up to the table. He had some Omas I had never seen before. It had this weird clip that flipped back, and it was like a doubled as a stand or something. And
the Modica.
Yeah. All right, there we go.
Yeah, one of those.
And I'm like, I have no idea. I, you know, so we took it over. Deneen's, oh yeah, Deneen's like, oh yeah. I'm like, great, you know. So I mean, it's awesome, the support, and you guys really. And then of course you sell us stuff, which sometimes I come home and go, what the heck did I just buy?
Yeah, you know, I can't leave you at the table.
Yeah, at least you can't leave me at a pen show alone. This is really
funny. So, Ryan, what's your favorite part of the pen business? I mean, you came from a completely different industry, and you had no clue what you were getting yourself into, and now 8 years later, what's your favorite thing? Like, if you could have your choice of how your schedule looks for next week, besides coming to Wisconsin, what would your favorite week look like?
Well, I mean, first of all, it would certainly be coming to Wisconsin and
getting some
of that cheese. So, but beyond that, I mean, my favorite part of the pen industry, I think, is its diversity. I think that there's so many people that from all different situations and walks of life that are interested in pens. I mean, you go anywhere from the young novice kid who's saving his allowance and really, you know, takes a year and a half to come and, you know, decide that he's going to buy a pen and, you know, really appreciates every bit of it. And you can also go to a top-level executive who can introduce you to a world that you didn't even know existed. So I think that really the diversity of the pen industry is part of what I love so much about it. There's so many people, and everyone's so nice, and it's a great industry to be involved in.
Yeah, you should have seen, like, today we had a young gentleman in the store. I don't remember his age, but he's a young kid, and he bought a Schaefer Ferrari ballpoint. And
was this Parker?
Yeah, his name is Parker. Actually,
Parker
bought a Schaefer. he was so excited. The look on his face when he was able to, he really wanted that pen. And his mom's like, okay, okay, you know, and then.
I love that. So, that's like, that's the most exciting stuff to me, really. I love to see. I love to just sit at a show and geek out with someone who really just, you know, just loves it. Even if the, even if they can't even afford something that, like, you know, of something they aspire to have one day. It's good to see that people really appreciate the craft.
Yep. Yeah, well, that was real fun.
That's a good lead into a question from the chat. What's your funniest pen show experience that's family friendly?
Family friendly. I have.
Now keep in mind, a lot of our stories start with we were at the bar and so.
Well, mine is typically has to do with Dick Crane, who recently retired from us. Him and I a couple times were. We worked a lot of shows together, really, a lot of shows together. And he was always very very particular about the way that he likes things, you know, done.
We've heard this.
At 7:45, don't be there at 7:44, don't be there at 7:46. And it was always a lot of fun just kind of messing around with him a little bit. But this one time he was telling me to do something, you know, very particular the way that that he wanted me to, and I thought to myself, I know what I'm doing. I'll do it the way that I want to. And I put a bottle of ink away, different than how I probably should have done it. And he even reminded me later on. He said, "Did you put that bottle of ink away the way that I wanted to?" And I was like, yeah, whatever. I think it was the next day I went to open the bottle of ink, and the whole thing exploded all over me. And I ruined, like, pants, a shirt, the whole thing. And I was like, Dick, you know, sometimes you drive me a little crazy, but you know what you're talking about. Little lesson.
He booby trapped it.
That's awesome.
Yep. So, we had a good time with Dick when it was right around his birthday time. Dick and Jared and the two of us went to Maggiano's, and Jared ordered a birthday cake for him, and he was Dick was very particular about where everybody sat and the cake and all of that, but.
It's weird. It's weird that they would take you to Maggiano's because they don't really like to go there.
Oh, really?
We were in Atlanta.
Every city that they have one, that's where we go.
Yeah, I think. I want to say it was Atlanta. Yeah.
It was Atlanta. So, yeah. Awesome. All right. So, and I'm sure that there are others that you can't talk about.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Well, so, you know.
So pen shows
get a little crazy.
Yeah, but generally you will agree that pen shows are awesome and everybody should go.
I think that if you haven't been to one, you should try to find your local one and really go there. It's completely an experience that you need to have at some point if you're into writing instruments.
Yeah. Agreed. Now, this is speaking of that. How many? Now you not only do pen shows, but you do other trade shows. You like sure. Stationary? Do you do stationary shows and stuff like that too, or
yeah.
Similar? How many pen shows and trade shows would you say you do a year? I mean, you say you're 50% of the time. I mean,
that's a tough question, Brian.
I mean, like two a month.
Depends on the year. I would say about two a month. I mean, just to give you just a rap sheet of where I've been the little while. I was in Chicago last week for the NLDA show, which is a little bit of a convention for luggage dealers. So we're really trying to expand our presence in the luggage industry. The week before that, I was in Las Vegas for Couture, which is a jewelry and luxury event.
Now, was that for Dalvi?
What?
Was that for Dalvi?
No, really for Monte Grappa.
Okay.
Dalve a little bit also. For those of you that don't know, we also took on a line of Scottish desk accessories called Dalve. So that's kind of like our diversification from the writing instrument community. Besides that, I do a ton of pen shows every year. I think I've been to just about maybe 80% of them. The only ones I don't think I've ever done is Raleigh and... Little Rock.
Detroit, probably.
Yeah.
I've done Detroit before. I've been
to... Really?
Really?
San Francisco, L.A., of course, Dallas, Chicago, Miami, Long Island, New York when they had the New York one, Boston, Baltimore.
When are you ever home?
Today?
and now I'm going to go there because you said I could ask anything, but now you are engaged?
I am engaged, correct, yeah. And we actually just did our engagement photo session last night, so that was a hoot.
Okay. Now, do you have a... Now, do you have a date set? You are going to manage to, like, be there, no traveling that week, right?
Is there a pet show that week? Or
I had to book my vacation for that a year and a half in advance, but hopefully I don't have to cancel it.
I'm pretty sure that would be a problem.
That would be bad. But in addition to that, also, we go to also retail shows. So, you know, I've been to Santa Fe, New Mexico, I mean, basically every city that we have a retailer, Brian and I really try to get out there and be in the face of the retailer as much as possible also, because a lot of times, I mean, yourself, Lisa and Brian, with a little bit of a smaller store and, you know, now you're a new employee, a lot of times I get to interact with you guys a ton, but I don't get to interact with Dave, and he doesn't really get to see, you know, my way about, you know, talking about my writing instruments and the pride that I have in it. And I think a lot of times... I even see it from the Italians a lot of times when you see the way that they talk about the projects that they develop themselves. There's a lot of passion, and you really get all tied up in it. And I think that, you know, as you move down the food chain, regardless of how passionate you are about writing instruments, you lose a little bit of that direct passion to the project. So I think when someone gets to see me talk about it, they get a little turned on by it. And, you know, some stores, they have 20, 30 employees. And, you know, a lot of them, especially in the jewelry industry, are a little reluctant to go to writing instruments because they only know watches and jewelry. And it's my job to be in their face and try to make them feel comfortable with the category in general. And that's why we have to really be out there a lot. And, you know, a lot of times my opportunity to interact with those clerks is at a trunk show or a trade show. So We try to get out everywhere.
Well, you know, we have a new method at the store now that we affectionately
call the Ryan method.
The Ryan method. So displaying all of our pens. It's a completely obvious thing, but we weren't doing it that way. But, you know, every color, fountain, roller,
First opened, I mean, we've re-merchandised the store probably 20 times, more than that, probably every week. We're moving something around, but we had a much smaller offering of rollerballs and ballpoints, and we had them all in one case because Brian didn't want to sell ballpoints and rollerballs. He didn't think people needed anything other than that. And we do have some people who aren't quite ready to take that plunge. And so, you know, we spoke to you, and now we have them all together, so you've got the whole family together. And we have a whole lot more ballpoints and rollerballs, and Brian even sold a couple today. So he's moving over to the other side of the tracks.
And I want to say one of the most, and Ryan's going to love this, one of the most popular rollerballs has been the Aurora Ypsilon.
Yes.
I have sold more of those. They're amazing pens.
I love it. I love it.
Awesome. I sold one fountain pen, and I probably sold... you know, 10 times as many rollerballs.
Nice.
Wait a minute. Brian said, I love them about rollerballs.
They're nice.
Is this recorded?
Yes.
I can stop this at any time.
No. We need Jenny. Oh, Jenny's in the chat. Jenny needs to jump in, and she's heard this, so...
No. I mean, you know, I'm a fountain pen guy through and through, and you know, it's inks on my blood. But you know, I understand people. You know, the Ypsilons are really a nice pen. So
yeah,
and especially the Sterling one is calling my name. Someday we're gonna walk in the store, and it's not gonna be in the case. It's gonna be in my pocket.
You're gonna buy a rollerball, Brian. That's gonna be next level.
Oh, that's a next level's a rollerball.
He's got a birthday coming up, so maybe that pen that's in the box needs to be changed out to a ballpoint or rollerball.
No, I don't think so. You can buy me something else, maybe. Anyway.
Ryan, is there anything that you can share without giving anything away that might be coming out? That's going to be big and exciting. I mean, usually there's like a big holiday push, new colors, new lines, new...
I'll talk maybe a little bit about each brand, if that's okay, because there's stuff coming out from everyone, and I think that everyone's kind of got cool stuff coming out. We'll start with Aurora, because it's first in the alphabet, but we have coming out this year, we'll have the newest edition of the Continent series, which will be Oceana, which we've started to kind of push out there a little bit. A lot of people really love that Continent series. It's that Optima body style, and it's really been very popular.
Killer.
We also have a new version. We have a new version of the Optima coming out, which is pretty cool. It's actually got a little bit of like a Gotham look to it. It's a sterling silver cap with some etchings on the top, which is going to be pretty interesting. We're still working on the pricing of that, but that's kind of what we got going on for Aurora this year. For Monte Grappa, there's some really, really awesome pens coming out. The price tag is quite substantial, unfortunately, but we are revamping the Extra series and the Mia series.
Cool.
In the Mia, we're coming out with carbon fiber and celluloid pens.
The carbon fiber is big right now, right?
It's hot. Yeah. I mean, for the guys, you know, it's really, I think, cool looking. And then there'll also be three new versions of the Extra, which is going to be a little bit different. It'll be faceted this time around. Three new celluloids. One of them is a very cool celluloid. It's like stacked and it looks like a zebra. One of them is like, they call shiny lines. It almost looks like an Arco, but it's gray. And the other one is malachite, which is like a green.
Nice.
And then last but certainly not least, they're doing a version of the Extra, which is a ceramic pen, but it's actually hand-hammered. Sit there and chisel away each little piece of ceramic to round it out. It's outstanding, really. It's just one of the most beautiful pieces I've ever seen.
Are these limited edition or are these just regular?
No, they'll be standard edition. They are expensive, unfortunately. Giuseppe tells us the price of celluloid has gone up so much over the past few years. If you're offering celluloid pens at a reasonable price, it's probably because you're working off of your inventory of celluloid. And if you're buying new celluloids, the prices seem to be skyrocketing.
That's the one thing we saw this year is the exchange rate between Italy and the United States really jumped the price.
It ends up factoring into the cost pretty much.
But
on the OMAS front, we're actually working on a special project, actually.
No.
Yes.
So this is actually a patent that OMAS has had on the writing instruments. I think Pilot has kind of done something like this before, but apparently OMAS has a patent on a nib that you're able to change the flexibility on. They're calling it 361. Because that's the number of the patent. So it won't actually be in a 360 body style. I think it'll be an Arte Italiana. But the story is Armando Simoni, the founder of OMAS, was actually offered $1 million for this patent. Maybe sometime in like the 40s or 50s, and he turned it down because he thought
that's a lot of bread.
A lot of money back then. And he turned it down and they never actually came out with the pen, but now they're working on it. And I've seen some renderings of the whole way you're going to adjust the flex. It looks awesome.
So it's an adjustable nib.
Exactly. Yep. So, I mean, we've done really well with the OMAS Flex nibs, and people really seem to love them and respond to them really well. It's actually either the Extra Fine or the Fine Flex are probably two of our better selling nib sizes at the moment. So I think in order to have a pen with that kind of variability, I think it's going to be pretty cool. So,
do you know what the nib material is going to be made out of? Is it going to be 18 karat? No.
I don't know the answer to that either, because I know that they were experimenting with either 18 or 14 karat. The 14 karat obviously is a little bit more flexible.
We're not talking steel, titanium.
No. OMAS doesn't want to do steel or titanium nibs.
Good answer.
From time to time, I think they'll come out with a titanium nib pen. At the moment, we have the Art Deco collection, but they want to stick to the essence of writing and fountain pens, and they want to do gold nib stuff. So,
awesome. Well, I'll take one.
Schaefer's actually expanding on the Ferrari line, which we've seen some really cool things coming out. that's at Kenro Industries right now. That's our unit by unit. That's our best-selling piece by far and away. So we're really excited about that. Again, that's the kind of writing instrument that has the reach beyond the pen community. I mean, Paradise Pen is actually doing a window in all of the malls in America of the Ferrari pen. So it's really it's awesome.
Well, we're going to have some in the front window of the store when we have licensed crews, right? The big car show where there's 100,000 people in a 6-block area, and we're going to have car stuff in the window that's pen-related. So we figure we'll get some attention from that, and if nothing else, you get a bunch of drunk people looking in the windows.
And at least they know who you are, right?
Exactly. let's see, what else do we have?
All right.
Now, Ryan, tell us about the about you personally a little bit more. You are a triathlete?
Yes.
Now, how long have you been torturing yourself with that?
Probably about 5 years.
Okay.
I'm a little bit of, I guess, a twisted individual, I'll say. I'm the type of person who, like, just, you know, for health reasons, started to run a mile every day. And unfortunately for myself, I've become a perfectionist, and I don't allow that to be the limit, and then I got to run 2 miles. And then 2 miles turns into 5, and 5 turns into 10. And then I'm running marathons, and then I start into triathlons, and you do a sprint triathlon, and then that turns into a half Ironman, and now I've done a full Ironman twice, which for those of you that don't know, it's a
crazy
race. You swim 2.5 miles, you bike 112 miles, and then you run a marathon after that. So,
all in one fell swoop?
All in one fell swoop. If you don't finish in under 17 hours, you actually get, you know, swept out.
And your best time to date?
At the moment, I'm at about 13 and a half hours.
Oh, shit.
So we have I'm doing good. Here, so I hope to be a little bit better.
Wow, that's crazy. Now, my best girlfriend, her husband, you've probably run with him and not known because there's a huge group. But right. Wasn't there a big to-do about you couldn't – they were thinking about canceling the race in New York because they didn't want you to swim through the East River or something?
Well, they actually did cancel it. They only did it 1 year.
Okay. Then they did. See, I was close. Wow.
All right. So being a former – I guess I shouldn't say former. I'm on a hiatus with a bum knee. But I used to bike centuries and 120-mile rides and all that stuff. A very, very important question, most non-pen-related question of the podcast, Shimano or Campagnolo?
I'm going to go with SRAM.
Oh!
Discount.
I was talking about this with actually a colleague of mine yesterday. The SRAM Red, the gear changes are just awesome. It's so smooth. I'm not into any of the electronic shifting stuff, so that's SRAM for me.
I would have thought you'd have had like Campagnolo from the motherland or something.
You could go over and birth it. Wow.
All right. Well, for the record, I am Campagnolo, so I sit on the Italian side of the fence.
I'm Switzerland. Well, I'm neutral.
I had a Cervelo for a little while. Now I'm riding a BMC, so a little bit of everything.
Awesome.
All right. Let's see. What haven't we covered? We had some good questions.
Does anybody in the chat have anything they want to post to Ryan while we have him here? And now let's see what else. Let me ask this question. I think we kind of skipped over this one, or I don't think we really covered it. Where do you see the pen industry moving forward in the years to come? So now you've been with Kenro for a number of years. Where do you see it moving in the next 8 years, 8, 10, 15 years?
I think that pens are coming back. We're not only trying to market them. I mean, you see, I almost wanted to touch on this earlier, but I mean, you see the Art of Shaving shops. That's my perfect example, opening up in malls all over the world, I mean all over the country, and people are really getting behind the movement of, you know, traditional things and, you know, the romance of shaving. And I think that really the romance of writing is right behind. I mean, I hear stories all the time about, you know, high-level executives and finance companies that send handwritten notes to their clients. And I think that people are trying to find a way to differentiate themselves. And I think taking writing up as a hobby is really going to come back. So that's one area where we're really, you know, seeing some growth. And, you know, I finally start to see some younger kids that are interested in it also. And, you know, for many years, everyone's talking about all the collector base is really starting to dissipate and, you know, people are getting older. And I'm starting to see some youth come into it. And, I've attended a lot of the pen shows like we talked about, you know, pen club meetings. Big Apple Pen Club is, you know, kind of right in our hometown. And there's really a number of young kids who are excited about it. So that's encouraging to me. You know, we're also trying to push writing instruments as an accessory. You know, not to say that writing is only for men, because there's, you know, plenty of women who are in it also. But I think you find that a man can really use it as an accessory to his outfit, whether it's in his sport coat or its pocket. You know, there's not many things that men can buy to, you know, accessorize, really. I mean, you have your watch, you have cufflinks, maybe a bracelet.
Pocket square.
You know, a writing instrument and just the ceremony of taking it out and, you know, signing a bill with a nice writing instrument, I think it's just, it makes you stand out a little bit. You know, we find in the Middle East that writing instruments are really taking off in a major way there, because, you know, they have to dress so similar, and there's only a few things that you can have that can really, you know, differentiate yourself, and that's kind of what they're using as a means to differentiate themselves. So I see it coming back, and I think it's going to come back in a major way.
Yeah, we were kind of talking about the young kid thing this afternoon. You know, when the young gentleman bought the Schaefer ballpoint, he said, you know, we get customers that come in and kids that come in and they buy a ballpoint. And I don't really care as long as they're happy with the instrument. And then, you know, maybe they'll buy another one. Maybe eventually they'll graduate to a nice fountain pen. I mean, you know, it's just you get them in on a rice, you know, anything to get them away from the horrid stuff that you steal at the office. I mean, you know, so.
Exactly, right.
Whether or not they ever move to a fountain pen doesn't really matter. I mean, it does, but it doesn't.
Yeah. Really matter, so. The problem, it does.
So.
Now, somebody in the chat, question for you, Ryan, they wanted to know, when you travel, what are your everyday carries, or what are your go-to pens for traveling?
Okay. I try to always have a fountain pen on me, which is my Omas Arco Verde, but that isn't always filled. I usually always have a click action ballpoint. I love the Aurora Ypsilon. I just love the click action, and I love to I may click it over several thousand times a day, and it's never failed me once. But I honestly sit there. I must click the thing all day, every day. So that's
a great testimonial. Can I put that on the website?
That's, you know, that's what I sit there all day, just clicking the damn thing.
So you've got strong thumb muscles.
Yeah, I guess it's a little bit of a workout, right?
Wow. Okay. Are there any pens that when they come in, or new lines that when you're looking at them, you just look at them, like when we get stuff into the store or we see what's coming out, we get your emails with these awesome pictures.
Well, those and new it's just Omas like, are killer.
I need one of those. I mean,
yeah, I need one of those Omas.
Are you still excited every day, and do you still just drool like the rest of us when you see some of these things that are coming out?
I say to myself all the time, like, because I'm usually, I mean, again, I work for a small company, so I'm even sometimes the person who receives the product into the warehouse. I say to myself all the time, I think that I'm so lucky to be like one of the first people in North America to see, you know, new product coming out. And, you know, with Monte Grappa, for instance, a couple times I've even had a say in so far as what colors they come out with. So it's just always so exciting. And I think, you know, I'm even encouraged by some of my competitors' products. I mean, Visconti and Delta. I just love to see new products and see people push the mold a little bit all the time. So it's always fun and it's always exciting to me.
Well, competition is good for business. It's good for design.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
It's, oh, if they came out with this, well, why didn't we think of that? Or why,
or,
you know,
why, or we do a pen? Why can't we do something different? And yeah. You know, we talked about this a year ago or whatever. So that's cool. And how closely do you personally work with some of the owners of, like, the actual corporate people in Italy? Like, do you have conversations with the owners on a regular basis? And
every day, yeah, every day. You
I
know, whether
still want your job,
whether it be whether it actually be a graphic artist or, you know, just an export manager. You know, Omas has a little bit of a unique situation where they have Chinese ownership, but everything is still manufactured in Italy. I deal with the director of Omas as opposed to the owner. Giuseppe from Monte Grappa is a man who does not sleep. I mean, people think that I work hard. He works 100 times harder than I do. I mean, I could write him an email right now and I could get an answer within a half an hour. I don't even know if he sleeps, but he literally answers service questions, ETAs. I mean, really, he answers every single question. He is the company. So I interact with him on a daily basis. Cesare Verona from Aurora, we speak to every day, you know, as well as his, you know, internal staff. And Schaefer, Denine is the brand manager for Schaefer. So she's interacting with the people there, I mean, on a daily basis. We really, communication is key. So we really try to be, you know, speaking to them every single day.
When you talk to them next, could you ask them to adopt me?
which one?
Aurora, I'm thinking.
Aurora?
Yeah, how close are the Aurora and Omas factories? Is there like a middle ground we could live and then commute?
It's kind of tough because they're all the companies seem to be really positioned. They're all northern Italian, but they all seem to be positioned pretty far apart from each other and kind of equidistant along the northern part of Italy. So you have Torino, you have Bologna, and then you have Bassano del Grappa.
Oh. Just say that again.
You can take a nice tour of northern Italy and go see all three of them.
And eat really well.
And eat. You can't get a bad meal in Italy.
Now, when you travel, and guys, I want you to take note, I think it's taken us 48 minutes to get to food, which I think is a new record. Jenny, time me on that. But are there any places that are favorites for you in the U.S.? I mean, you travel way more than even we do.
Right.
You know, when we talk about food for shows, it's partly a public service announcement so people know where to go, what's good, what's, you know, what the deal is. Mm-hmm. Are there places that you look forward to going because you know you get to go back to a certain restaurant or it's known for pizza or, you know, whatever?
For sure. I mean, I'm a little bit of a foodie at heart also. I love to run and train and everything, but mainly I only do that so that I can keep the belly down because I love to eat a real lot. I mean, my favorite thing to do whenever I go to a city that I don't know is I hop onto, you know, the Triple D website and find some place that they've done something cool at. There's a burger joint in Dallas, which I don't even know the name of it, but I've only just know where it is because I purposely stay at a hotel in downtown Dallas next door to it so that I can just walk there every day. But they do all sorts of different burgers and everything is fresh and homemade, and that's my favorite place. I love going to Texas for the food, and Texas is the best.
Now, are you going to be in Dallas in September?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, awesome. You got to tell us where this place is.
Yeah.
let's go for dinner. How about it?
Absolutely. All right, that's it. Right.
Burgers, baby.
It's a little far away from the DoubleTree, but we'll make the trip into downtown for it. It's worth it, I promise you.
Awesome.
There you go. Now, somebody else had a question, because we like to talk about local beers. Do you have a favorite craft beer, Greg wants to know?
I do. It happens to not even be local for me, but I'm a bit of a craft beer drinker also. My roommate is big into, he brews his own beer, so we spend a lot of time geeking out on beers also. But I loved Rogue Dead Guy. It's like my favorite.
Rogue Dead Guy?
Yeah, so they're out of Oregon. It's a small outfit, I think, but their beer is pretty good.
Well, we'll have to add that to the list next time.
Look that one up.
Oh, I'm right. Gonna.
Rogue Dead Guy.
I want
sounds
the
like
Dead Guy beer.
Sitcom.
All right. Anything you want to talk about? Anything you want to share? Any scoop?
I think we covered pretty much a lot of things, really.
Okay.
Does anyone else have any other questions besides that?
I'm looking. they had all sorts of interesting comments about beer and fountain pens. And Carrie wanted to know about maybe if you've heard of any new types of nib materials being worked on. You touched on the titanium and some of that. Anybody doing anything besides the flex nib?
I haven't heard of anything. The only really interesting thing I've heard of is I've seen some people doing some interesting things with paper. I can't even remember where I saw it, but last week I came across someone who was working on writing pads that are paper kind of made with stone a little bit, and it's actually possible to tear it, or pretty
much
really possible. Have you guys seen that yet?
I've heard of it, but I've never used it, and I'm just wondering how good that's going to be on a fountain pen.
It's not bad. It's depending upon obviously depending upon the ink that you're using. But I wrote with a fountain pen on it, and it was awesome. Really, it was
really
the paper is so smooth. It's so cool.
Obviously, no bleed through, right? Bleed through, right?
No, yeah, no bleed.
Now, what about ink, Ryan? What's your favorite color?
Oma Sepia.
Okay.
Easy. That was an easy choice.
You know, a little bit of trivia here. My first actual bottle of ink was Omas Green that was given away at the Miami Pen Show.
Wow. All right.
Omas Green.
How long ago?
Oof. 2000, maybe? I think it was 2000. it was when they had it at the Biltmore.
Yep.
That was such a nice hotel when they used to have it there. Oh my God, I used to love going down there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was like having the, it's like where Baltimore was last year. You know, I mean, it was just it's
gorgeous.
Over the top. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was my first show and they gave
like
away Omas ink.
Yeah. So. Now, Omas bottles, for those of you who don't have one, are really interesting because they're faceted, and the idea is that when you get low on ink, you can turn it, and it'll still sit on one of the other facets so that you can, the ink will pool differently, and you can still fill your pen. Why is it other companies haven't picked up on that? I mean, a lot of companies are just boring bottles.
I think a lot of people are trying to come up with their own ways, really, to use as much ink as possible. I mean, I think Visconti has the needle nose thing where you can try to suck up as much ink, and the traveling ink well. And, I know a lot of the bottles are really, they're trying to customize them so that you can use as much ink as possible. I don't know why Aurora hasn't really tried to change their bottle at all. From what I hear, it's not so hard to get down to the bottom of that one.
It's not a bad design.
Yeah, it's not a bad design.
I'm almost out here, my bottle of Aurora Blue, but
one of your favorites.
Yeah, as long as they don't change it. Was, what Aurora needs to never do is add more colors.
You took that right out of the CEO's mouth.
Yeah.
All the time it's
blue and black.
Aurora ink, we sell it so well. Why don't you come out with another color? And they just don't want to lose the quality control on it. They know they do two colors well, and buy it or don't buy it. I mean, our ink is awesome. So
people come in the store and they're like, "Well, what black ink should I use?" Aurora. I mean, I don't.
Aurora makes two colors.
Yeah, I don't even think about it.
And blue. Yeah.
That's it.
So. All right. So Omas Sepia. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I didn't see that one coming.
No. All right.
Awesome.
I was thinking a blue or a green or something maybe. But,
yeah. Now
I like turquoise too. Turquoise is a good coloring too. So.
Okay. Now, what about in the Kenro offices? I know that Neil is new,
mm-hmm.
and he's joked and called himself like the new kid on the block and baby in the family.
He's awesome.
And he didn't have a pen in his pocket in Chicago, and I gave him a hard time for it. So when you go back to work, make sure when he's there, because I know he was off today, make sure he's got a pen in his pocket. But
I'm going to bust his chops a little bit.
There you go.
Lisa said.
Lisa ratted you out. Does everybody have just a bunch of pens? Or if people were to walk in, I mean, you don't have, like, Bics lying around, right?
No. Everyone writes with a pretty decent writing instrument. We try not to just get out of control with the inventory all over the place.
Right.
But, yeah, I think everyone kind of gets their pick of at least a decent writing instrument to keep at their desk and use. I luckily enough, since I'm in sales, I have all the sample lines, so my pick of the litter is a little bit bigger than mostly everyone's. I can pick from,
you know, if you need help with that,
300 pens every day, I can pick one of them. So.
And now what about ink? Like, do you all go through like the same three colors of ink every week, or, you know, is like this blue week and next week's green week, or is it just everybody has their own?
Everyone's got their own color that they use, so
it's heaven.
We're very cool about that, and you know, if you need a new bottle, you just go in and take it.
Okay, so let me ask a sensitive question. Are there any rebels in the group that are not using a company supplied brand or color? You bust their chops if they come in with a Mont Blanc or something.
We have
don't name names.
We have a new guy in the company who is actually from the pen community a little bit, and we hired him on to do some blogging stuff with us. And he has a taste of writing instruments before he came into working with us. So he was in the office the other day, and he had a competitor's pen, and I was like, what are you doing? You're crazy, you know?
But
it's all in good fun, you know? You can't take the pen geek out of him, so.
But that's even worse than when you interviewed. You didn't know anything, but, you know, this guy who's in the chat, dude, you should have known better. Either that, or he just wanted you maybe to feel sorry for him that he was forced to use this competitor's pen, and so now you need to help him
now
learn.
Now we have to get a really nice one.
There you go.
Want to see if you're paying attention. So.
Yep, there you go. Let's see, anything else?
Well, we pretty much kind of covered, I think we covered a lot of ground.
Yeah.
Do we want to chat briefly about what's coming new at the store that we're going to be ordering tomorrow?
Ryan, this is when we usually get into what's new, either in the store or on the website.
Okay.
And
cool.
We're going to skip most of that because you're here, and most of it we'll talk about next week.
We've been meaning to do a Schaefer order.
The new Schaefer VFM ballpoints in bright colors. Some of those are cool.
Yeah, the
that
colors.
Plum really, color.
The colors are really nice.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be a big hit. So the VFM ballpoints definitely going to be coming soon. So.
Well, and we ordered. Would we order one Sentinel the other week for Dave?
Yeah.
We ordered two.
We ordered two. We got another one.
Yeah, we ordered two. So Dave wanted one. And like you, he was going through the Schaefer list. He's like, you know, next time you order, I'd really like one of these. So we ordered him one, and it was late, and we were doing 20 things at once, and so we didn't quite finish ordering all the rest of them. So
yeah, that's what I thought, because I thought we looked through it and like, okay, we'll get, you know, get a few at every
bunch. Yeah, yeah.
We get the order, and there's like two. I'm like,
I got Dave's pen.
No, it's a cool looking pen, and actually we had someone today that was interested in a thin ballpoint. I'm like, I got the Sentinel, you know. So yeah. I mean, that worked out. So
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're looking forward to that, and we're gonna have to buy more Auroras. What a shame.
Yeah. Right.
But let's see. And then the other thing that we got in this week, or in the last 10 days or so, the new field notes came in, and those are on the site, right, Brian?
Yeah, they're on the site, and actually, well, I didn't bring one home, but they're a bigger size.
They're interesting. The arts and the sciences.
Pocket. Yep. You can't put it in your pocket unless you've got like really baggy jeans or you've got a side.
I think it's a good size.
Yeah, I think it's a good size for a backpack or something. It's not too big. A little bit smaller than a 5x7, but interesting size. I think it's going to be a good hit. So
it's a departure for them from their normal size. So we'll see how that goes. I haven't read too many reviews. Let's see. I think Ed Jelly's in the chat. Ed, have you done a review yet of the new field notes? We'll see if he says anything. But that's new. And then we have a boatload of stuff coming in. In fact, this morning I came in, I guess it was yesterday, came in and had three different things confirmed. So there are a lot of fun things coming in.
Stuff's coming.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. We've still got some of the old Sailor Ink, and we've got some of the new Sailor Ink. That stuff's still moving. But when it's gone, it's gone. Some of those colors are cool.
All right. We have some shout-outs this week.
We do, always. Ryan, totally shout-out to you for joining us. This was fun. I mean, we've had a good time with you at shows, but we thought it would be fun for our viewers and our friends to hear a little bit about the other side of it and to hear about the world's most perfect job. I mean, seriously, you get to play with pens and you get to talk to the people who own the pen companies and you get input into the designs. I mean, what is not, and you get to travel, and what is not to love about that?
It's a great job. It really is.
Yeah.
Well, and you do an awesome job of it. We're pleased to work with you, and
yeah, we always have a good time.
I just, can't say enough good things about you. So
thank you.
If Joel's watching this, give the man a raise.
We'll have to.
A shout out to Mike and Audrey from Raleigh.
Raleigh. we should mention the blog is inkdependence.com.
Yep. And we should know Audrey's nail polish blog, but we don't. I'll look that up. But they came to visit. Audrey has family in Plymouth, Wisconsin, so they drove about an hour and a half. They brought the whole family. We got to meet Audrey's mom and dad and her cousin and her cousin's two kids and her aunt. Is that it? There were a bunch of people.
So I got to tell a quick story. So here's what happened. So I work in the building next door, right? And I said, okay, well, Mike's gonna call or text Lisa when they're almost there, and then she'll text me and let me know so I can get out of work. And so she sends me a text. They're here. I'm like, great. And I come over, and there's like 100 people in the store. I was just like, well, what is going on? She brought the whole, literally brought the whole Nang family.
It was two carloads. It was two carloads because they left one car for Mike and Audrey to drive back. So yeah, they brought the whole family. I think everybody was drooling over something. They had a great time. So that was fun. So a big shout out to Mike and Audrey. We get to see them in Raleigh and D.C., but that's about it. So, Raleigh.
Raleigh, I guess.
Audrey was giving me a hard time. It's Raleigh. She was sweet about it, so I was just mocking her. Raleigh. And then a shout-out to Captain Mike Kirk, who we're going to see at the store after the show. Busy night.
So, yeah, that'll be fun. So
yeah.
Mike sends me this text. So Mike and I have this long-running joke now that – we're always telling each other we find some great pen in and then we text each other, should I buy it? And so he sends me this text today, and he says, actually, I'll read it to you. It's really just hilarious. It's classic. Because a couple years ago, he sent me this text, he made this joke that he found a Waterman 58 mint for like $20 at the local antique shop.
They fake each other out.
Yeah. So he sends me this question. He says, there's a nice 51 set with gold caps and a two-tone engraving of buildings on the cap at the local mall. Should I
Empire
think
cap.
Yeah, 14-carat Empire cap. Yeah, no, it's just... Yeah.
I'm not falling for that this year.
Yeah, I'm not falling for that.
So Mike travels a lot like you, Ryan, and so whenever he's up here, we usually would do dinner and we'd share whatever we've gotten in the last month. And he travels only he drives. So he gets to stop and go to all these little out-of-the-way antique stores, and he finds the coolest stuff. So he's always got something really cool to show.
Wow. That's where all the hidden gems are.
Yes.
Well, he has pulled some real gems out of our neck of the woods, you know, so it's like, you know.
Wretched man.
Oh, man, I'm so on there. What?
He's poaching on our territory. So.
All right, any other ones?
Ryan, do you have any shout-outs?
I don't think so.
Your fiancé.
I'll have a shout-out to my fiancé, Kathleen Feldman, who is working right now, and the whole Kenro team.
There we go.
If anyone's tuning in, I told some of them to tune in, so we'll see if anyone actually did.
The new guy did the right thing. He's here.
All right, nice.
I'll do my best. I know I'm seriously behind on the audio podcast, so I will do my best to try to get caught up on those this week.
Yeah.
So at least folks at Kenro can listen to it in iTunes when it gets in, but it usually takes me a couple of days. So we'll do that. So anything else for this week? I think that pretty much covers it.
Yep, just a shout-out to Deneen. Big hugs. She's a trip.
Yeah,
awesome. She's a trip. I love Deneen.
Yeah, so I'll tell a quick funny story about Denise, and then I'm done. So like I email her and I'm like, yeah, do you guys have any like tower displays? Because you know we got too much Schaefer product to fit in this little case we just got in Long Island. Because I remember she had a catalog. She's like, well, we have this and we have this, and then I remember on the page seeing this big tower display, and I'm thinking, well, yeah, it'd be cool if you had a tower display, you know, and we could put all our Schaefer stuff in there. And
she's fast.
Oh. Yeah, she goes, well, I'll check into it. Like 2 days later, she's like, oh, yeah, well, we ordered one for you.
Get them all.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I don't know when it's coming, but.
I don't know what it looks like, but like, she said that there was room. They'd ordered a big shipment, and the boat was headed over, and it's on there, so.
Yeah, so like, where are we going to put this thing? So.
Yep. Anyway. Yeah, Ryan, you got to come up and help us move furniture.
Those are just the small details, Brian, where you're going to put it. Just.
Well, you know, the funny thing is we have this Aurora case that's kind of an odd short size, and it still has the Italian plug on it. So the decision has been we can't plug it in. So the decision has been made. We're just going to take it out and we're going to put it in the bedroom.
Yes, that's my idea. It goes in the bedroom.
Nice. So I can
wake up and gaze adoringly at it every day.
Yeah. All right. I think that's pretty much it for this week.
Yep.
Ryan, thank you so much for being a guest.
I'm happy to take part.
So, awesome. And for the rest of you, thanks for joining in tonight. Comments, suggestions for topics, use your pens. Write to us at Anderson Pens, 10 East College Avenue, Suite 112A, Appleton, Wisconsin, 54911.
Send us an email, catch up online.
Email, brian@andersonpens.net.
Or lisa@andersonpens.net or dave@andersonpens.net, who's going on vacation next week. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. It's going to be chaos. you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/andersonpens.
We're on Facebook. It's facebook.com/andersonpens.
The blog, of course, blog.andersonpens.net.
And the website is andersonpens.net.
You can join our mailing list for advance notice of upcoming new products, special sales, stuff going on at the store. Of course, see Ryan you will be in D.C.?
Correct, yep.
So awesome. You can see Ryan and the rest of the Kenro gang in D.C. at the D.C. Super Show, which we'll be talking about in several weeks. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening to the podcast, and we will see you next week. Have a good night, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Good night.